doesn't happen by accident. The perfect will is not going to happen by accident. Sometimes we look at the perfect will and we realize, let's say God intends all of us to spend a certain amount of time with Him. How much time I let you and God determine in your heart. But the majority, most of the time, if you're really honest, you admit you're not spending as much time with God as you should. In fact, I think, I may be wrong, but I think most Christians spend about 5 minutes of prayer a day. One of my close business colleagues, an architect, and so I told him about praying 2 hours every morning, 6 to 8, Monday to Friday. And he says, oh, you know, so I told him, because he's a Christian, so I encouraged him. I said, good, you should spend more time with God in the morning. I said, you begin to see God working. So I asked him, how much time do you spend with God? He said, 15 minutes a day. But he's already one of the good Christians. Then after talking to him, he said, well, brother, I think I'm going to spend half an hour. So I said, now don't do it, because I tell you, you got to be finding the strength from your inside. Because if you do it because somebody else does it, you will not have the revelation. I mean, many times Christians say, well, if God can do that for you, God can do it for me. Yes, that's true. But you need to have the same revelation that person has to do it. So perhaps a Christian, you know, who is claiming God for healing, fighting 5 incurable sicknesses, taking 20 tablets a day. So the Christian meditate on God's word and pray, oh God, and cry to God for healing, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then went on a travail and spent time with God 4 hours. After 2 years of that, suddenly the Christian got a revelation, by His stripes I'm healed. He sent His word and healed them. It became a revelation to that Christian. So the Christian got a revelation and said, hallelujah, I'm healed. Took all the 20 tablets and flushed it down the toilet bowl. And begins to walk and say, I'm healed by His stripes. I'm healed by His stripes. Begin to get stronger, and actually, after 3 weeks, begin to demonstrate the healing of God. Another Christian looks at him and says, wow, you did that? You got 5 incurable diseases, taking 20 tablets a day. You got a revelation of healing from the Bible. You got healed. Wow, I got only 1 incurable disease, took 2 tablets a day. It can happen to me. And so, you begin to throw your same tablets, fight your 1 incurable disease, but you don't have the same revelation. It hasn't gone inside. And you begin to look at the Word and say, yeah, it's in the Bible. Yes, it's in the Bible. And then, after 3 weeks, you were worse than before. And you come to God, God, why doesn't it work? Because that person had an internal revelation. You don't have. Everything that we read in the Bible needs to become something internalized in us. It needs to become flesh to us. It needs to click into us. You could be very hungry, and you could be starving. You could be malnourished, and we could lay out all the lunch all before you. What do they have today? Okay, they have honey, soy, chicken, and they have they have noodles. And they have your usual dried meats, and you have all this laid before you, and they lay before you and say, oh yes, 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 the food is nice. Yes, yes, the food is nice. Oh, the smell is nice. Oh yes. But you could say that all your life and never eat it, and you still die of malnutrition. Unless you take that food, put it into your mouth, bite it, chew it, swallow it, digest it in your stomach, it becomes a part of you, then your malnutrition is removed. The Word of God needs to be digested, become a part of us, become our personal revelation, so that something in you know, and it has clicked on your inside, and you know from the deep inside, this is it. It has become flesh to you. Then you can walk in that revelation of God. So to each one of us, God has a perfect will. And in His perfect will, let's suppose, all right, I'm just giving an illustration. Let's suppose that in His perfect will for you, To move into the perfect will, it requires you to pray 2 hours a day. Meditate for 1 hour a day. But you look at all these things, and in your heart you know you have to do it, but in your flesh you come to the Lord and say, Lord, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Very famous excuse. It's funny how many Christians know that scripture, right? But they don't know the other scripture that says, you know, I can do all things with Christ who strengthened me. How come they know all the right scriptures? Like sometimes they're surprised. When you talk about Christians on healing, they know all the scriptures why they should not have healing. And you're about to pray for them, you say, hey, remember Timothy's stomach? Yes, I remember that. Yes, remember Epaphroditus almost died? Yes, I remember that. But what other scriptures do you know? So they memorize all the scriptures that tell them how not to be healed. So sometimes we know all the right scriptures, how not to go forward. And we neglect scriptures that I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. But in the realistic terms, God knows our level. And we come to God and we say, God, you know, that's the level. So God, permissive will, God comes down to our level. And He tries to flow our level to move us on. To move us deeper into Him. Not that our Christian life should be made of a disciplinarian life without joy or strength. No. That's not what I mean. What we mean is that God will come inside us and He will begin to strengthen us from the inside. So that something on your inside, your prayer should not be, my flesh is weak, my spirit is willing. That's not good enough. You know what you should pray? Oh God, I want to do it. Help me find the strength to do it. Why don't we pray like that? And say, God, help me find the strength. Be patient with me. Give me the motivation, right? Many times we lack motivation and we lack the physical discipline. So why not ask for those things? Say, God, internalize it in me. Give me the physical strength and give me the motivation to do those things. And if you keep praying that way and meditating that way, sooner or later the motivation comes. And before long, you realize that you're doing those things and you say, hey, it was no struggle. You just find that you're just flowing into that. And that's the way it is. It is not by discipline that you grow. It is by growth that you grow. After all, growing is equal to growth. And so allow yourself to grow into that level. Start wherever you are and ask God to fill you with His strength. Now the permissive will, they enter into the permissive will. They got a king. And in the end, you know what happened? There were not enough spiritual good forces around to sustain it. When some things are premature, you don't have the sustenance power. I know sometimes when we pray for revival, we wish that revival would happen faster. My friends, sometimes we've got to build a proper structure before the blessings come. Because if we are not ready for it, it can be more disastrous than we realize. And God in His wisdom allow it to come in its proper time. Sometimes Christians are believing God for great breakthroughs in finances. But God trains us first. He tests whether you're faithful with $100,000, with $1 million, before He brings the $1 billion into your hands. Or sometimes, you know, many pastors, I'm sure every single church pastor is praying that their church will grow by the hundreds of thousands or thousands of souls. But God's going to test each pastor. God's going to test you whether you're going to be faithful with 10 people, with 100 people, with 200 people, with 500 people, before He brings 1,000 people. Before He brings 10,000 people. He's not going to just bring 10,000 when He knows your ability is only 100. So God's going to test each one of us. That's where the pruning process comes. And what happens when we try to do beyond God's will, we don't get into perfect will, we either miss on the timing, we miss on what He wants to do, or we miss on how He wants to do it, or we miss on our motives in doing that. When we miss in one of those areas, we don't have the spiritual sustenance to support it. And as a result, we falter. Which is what happened in the Israelites. Saul became king. There was the prophets there. But I believe there were not enough intercessors in those days. And there were not enough spiritual counsel around. Think about King David. You think he was alone? No, he had a spiritual counsel about him. No, King David developed a whole group of people. He had loyal priests behind him. So that when he was driven, he has those priests still loyal to him. And he has this wise man around him. And they were his counselors. And then he has these fantastic generals around him. Mighty men of God. And so it was time for God to do certain things. He'll bring all the right resources and people. But when it's not the timing of God, Samuel had Saul and Saul only had Samuel. And he was highly dependent on Samuel. You see, in David's time, you hear about Nathan the prophet, Gad the prophet. You hear about the priests. There were two priests there at that time. And then you hear about the mighty men of God. You hear about all these people. They were there because they were already at the right time. But when you look at King Saul, who does he have? Samuel. Anybody else? No. There's nobody else. It was like a spiritual vacuum. Now, in that situation, Saul should have stick closer with Samuel. Because he had no other spiritual guide. But instead, he went apart from Samuel. And the moment he went apart from Samuel, he started going downhill. Started doing the wrong things. And in the end, God rejected Saul. God rejected Saul. It was just the permissible will. Not the perfect will of God. But here's a funny thing. When you enter into a cycle, sometimes you cannot turn back. You can't turn back the clock. You got to live with the cycle and pray that the cycle brings you back unto God. And the only way for the cycle to come back to God is in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. So God was saying, in whatever cycle you go into in the wrong area, if you humble and pray and fast, I will lead you back to me. I'll lead you back to me. Again, the age-old keys. Fasting, praying, and seeking God. You can end one cycle, move to the next one. So there is the permissive will of God, which is there. And then there is the perfect will of God. The permissive will can be caused by a lack of the right way, or the right time, or the right method, or the right motive. You get one of those rights wrong, it becomes permissive. Sometimes people get three rights, but the motive wrong, it is also still wrong. It will lead into the wrong direction. To really walk in God's perfect will is not easy. It's not easy. It takes a constant cleansing by God. God has to constantly cleanse us and takes a constant surrender before God in order to walk in the perfect will. Thank God Jesus did that. And in Romans chapter 12, we return to that verse. It says in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove What is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? So there's the good will of God, which is the general will of God.